Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 32. Name of the message is Christ, our hiding place. Now, situations going on in the world, there's people who are in hiding right now. There's some who there's a knock on the door and people are being dragged out and hung or executed. And there's others who are hiding. Hiding in fear for their lives. Hiding due to a situation that is beyond their control. Do you know that all of us need a hiding place? Do you know that every one of us in this world need a hiding place? You know what we need a hiding place from? We need a hiding place from God's wrath, don't we? Which shall be satisfied either in the sinner or in the Savior. We need a hiding place from the law of God, which has a rightful claim on every single one of us who are born into this world. It has a claim. The soul that sinneth, it must die. I need a hiding place. Because I'm guilty. In my natural state, I'm guilty. Just like everybody else in this world. We need a hiding place, don't we? Look what the Scripture declares here in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. We're so unrighteous, beloved. By our natural birth, we're unrighteous before God. But this says, a king shall reign in righteousness. Well, this can only be speaking of the Messiah. This can only be spoken of the one sent by God, the sinless one, who's born king and who was king before he even came to this world. And he's king still today and forever. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the just one. A king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be a hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry land, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What a marvelous text we have here before us, beloved. It speaks of our Savior. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 again. Behold, behold. That's to get our attention. Look at this. Behold. When someone says, look at that, we look, don't we? Behold. Look in awe and wonder. A king, the king, shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. He's the King of Kings, isn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only righteous one, beloved. This can be speaking of none other but Him. There's been other kings in this world, but there's been no king like our King. There's no king like He who was king before He came to this world in eternity, in heaven, in glory, angels bowing down before Him. Why? Because He's King. Isaiah chapter 6, the seraphims are dropping down in front of them. These are holy angels dropping down in front of them saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He's king." And yet, puny animated dust says, "Well, I don't believe in him." The devils even believe and tremble. The scripture declares. They know who he is. This is King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. And he rules in judgment. Do you know that all judgment has been given to the Son? Do you know that all who stand in front of the King at the great white judgment throne, they're standing in front of Christ? Every knee shall bow. Every knee. Every single person that ever lived, their knee shall bow. And their tongue shall confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It will happen. It will happen. They will acknowledge him as king, but it'll be too late for them. Scripture says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." God has set Christ upon the throne. God has done this. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." So this text speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who reigns in righteousness. He is the only one who is absolutely sinless in his life and in his death. Perfect. And what joy this brings God's people to know that our God is our Savior. To know that he's done everything that God's demanded for the salvation of our souls, that it was all accomplished by he who now sits upon the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. How comforting it is for us to know that our salvation is complete, that it is finished, that his work was so perfect that he saved a number that no man can number. All that the Father gave him. And again, what are we doing now as preachers? We're just telling people, right, what the Lord's already done. Is the work finished? Is the work of salvation finished? Amen. How long has it been finished for? 2,000 years. It's already done, isn't it? And God, the Holy Spirit, he regenerates those for whom Christ died, gives them faith to believe, and here we are, worshiping our great God. But the work's been done. So if the work's finished, what is there for us to do? Nothing, eh? Amen, sister. Nothing. There's nothing for us to do. It's done. The work's complete. We rejoice in that, don't we? We rejoice that we have a hiding place. That we have a refuge. And that he's our rock. He's our city of refuge. Because it was us who broke God's law. It was us who God's law demanded satisfaction for my sins. For mine. And praise God that I have a hiding place. Do you have a hiding place? Do you have a hiding place from God's wrath? Do you have a hiding place from the law of God? Because God's law will, it will be satisfied again, either in the sinner or in the Savior. Do you have a hiding place? If your hiding place is yourself, it's a false refuge. If your hiding place is anything that you do, it's a false refuge. There's only one hiding place, and that's the King here spoken of. The King who rules in righteousness. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hiding place for sinners. Is Christ your hiding place? I pray that if it pleases God, that He give you grace. Give you grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the only hiding place for sinners. He's the head, isn't He, of the church. He's the King of the church. He takes the rightful throne of our heart, doesn't He? It used to be self was in the throne of our heart, wasn't it? Self and sin. Now it's Christ, by God's grace and mercy. It's nothing we've done, but by God's grace and mercy, now Christ is enthroned in our hearts. That's why it bothers us when we sin. And we sin all the time, don't we? There are sins we don't even know about. But we confess our sins, don't we, to Christ. We say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. We know He's already cleansed us from all our sin, but we still ask for forgiveness, don't we? Yeah. We confess our sins. We come to Him. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, we only have one mediator. We only have one redeemer. And that one mediator and that one redeemer has been appointed by God. He set His king upon the holy hill. God's done that. In His reign, Christ's reign is a reign of grace. It's not a reign of terror. It's a reign of grace. Now, His righteousness will be revealed to His people. And we cry out to Him who is the Lord our righteousness now, don't we? Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Well, all of us are unrighteous. So that's not speaking of any human being that's born of Adam. It's born of the seed of Adam, is it? No. A righteous branch. Well, this is speaking of He who was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. He who was born of a virgin. The promised one. The Messiah. Says, behold, a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In His days, Judah shall be saved. All God's elect shall be saved. All of them. There won't be one missing. Not one. And shall dwell safely. Now, people who are hiding, they don't feel safe, do they? If they felt safe, they wouldn't be hiding. They feel in danger. Endangerment to their lives. But look at this. In His days, in the days of Christ, Judah shall be saved. All that God's given the Son shall be saved. All the elect of all the ages. And Israel shall dwell safely. And this is His name, whereby He shall be called the Lord, what? Our righteousness. So this king rules in righteousness, and He is our righteousness. Incredible. And this righteous king, this holy man, is reigning right now. Christ is a risen Savior, isn't He? So rejoice, beloved. Our Savior rules and reigns right now. Amidst all the chaos of this world, our Savior is ruling and reigning right now. Right now. Then look at verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 32. And a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now here in verse 2, we have our hiding place revealed. The Lord Jesus Christ. A man. He's a man. Christ is fully man and yet fully God. A man shall be in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. God became a man. Wonder of wonders. The great I am. The one who spoke to Moses from the bush became a man. The one who existed outside of time and space in eternity came into time to save his people from their sins. Marvel at that. Marvel if you're one of his people. Marvel at that, that Christ came to save you. I read that and think, Christ came to save me. And he's a hiding place. And here we see a good illustration. It says, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. We cannot easily imagine the fury of storms in the Middle East. When these sandstorms come up, they are absolutely brutal. We think it's bad up here in Michigan when we get whiteouts and stuff like that. When a sandstorm comes up, you can't see nothing. And what do you want to do? You want to find cover. You know, some of these sandstorms that come, they can break columns because the wind's so powerful. They can break columns of back in the days, and they blow a large tree down, take it up from the roots like the wind does now. Houses are tossed about like straw, and think, in the seas, back in the days, they all had wooden ships. Those ships just tossed to and fro by those great storms. Just like when you have little ships in the bathtub. Remember when we were kids and you hit the water and man, the waves start going like that in the bathtub, right? Just tossing those little plastic ships all over. That's what it was like. My. Mountains of sand are lifted up in these storms. Dashed down. Some used to bury whole caravans, which were crossing the desert at the time. Even armies, if they're caught out in the open, can be swallowed up by these storms. So picture a traveler back in those days. Picture a traveler traveling through the desert, and this big old storm's coming up from the horizon. They could see him coming. Big old storm coming. And there's a strange stillness. You ever? We feel like that when we get our thunderstorms here. Those strange stillness just comes before the storm. And he looks up and sees a cloud of sand coming at him. And the sky's darkened. And the earth and heaven seem to be covered. Destruction rides upon every blast of the storm. And the storm claims the whole desert as its own. And the poor man just stands horrified. And he sees this storm of doom coming. And he looks. He looks for shelter. And lo, a gigantic rock. Big old rock in the middle of the desert. And he runs over. And he gets behind that rock and he slides in as close as he can to that rock. And that storm just beats on that rock. Just beats on that rock. And he's safe. He's found a hiding place, hasn't he? Do you know the storm of God's law and justice just beat upon Christ? Just beat upon him. The sword of God's justice was unsheathed and just fell into Christ, just plunged into Christ in our room and place. And here we are. We're like that man huddled up, and we're safe in Christ. He's our hiding place, beloved. And that storm didn't touch him, right? Think of Noah. He's in that ark, and that rain is just blasting down, right? Beaten upon the ark, and not a drop is hitting Noah and his family. not a drop. That's a picture of us in Christ, beloved. That's a picture of us behind that rock when that big old storm just comes. And I'll tell you what, you ever watch sandblasting and stuff and somebody sandblasts something and just beats upon that? That's what that's like. And that rock's still there. And that storm passes. And man comes out of his hiding place. Oh, we're free in Christ, beloved. The storm of God's wrath has subsided. It's being appeased in Christ for his people. Justice is fully satisfied. That's why when Christ cried, "It's finished, it's done," our salvation is complete. Scripture says he obtained eternal salvation for us. He obtained it. Praise his mighty name. Christ is our hiding place, isn't he? He's our shelter. Now, let's consider, in this life, we're going to have storms, aren't we? We're going to have storms. We have mysterious storms which spring up in our lives. They can cause confusion of mind. They can trouble us very much. Uncertain, shaken, unrest can come into our lives. And sometimes we can't even give a cause for these storms coming into our lives. The cause may be physical or circumstantial. We can have overwhelming tempests of spiritual distress on account of our sin. We can have unbelief. We can have temptations which cause us distress. And in the scripture, we're told not to fear. But yet, we struggle with that. We're to trust in the Lord, and yet that's the hardest thing for us to do. But praise be to God that God's salvation is not dependent on how much we trust him. Isn't that good? Right? Because our faith is feeble, isn't it? It can be fickle. But he is ever faithful, the one who saved us. He has us in his grip. No man can pluck us from the Son's hand, and no man can pluck us from the Father's hand. We're double held in God's hands. It's wonderful. And we face the trials of this life and bereavements in this life. And David was often tossed to and fro, wasn't he? Turn, if you would, to Psalm 143. David was often tried and tempted, wasn't he? Saul tried to kill him. He was often tried. David also got himself in his own trouble too, didn't he? Just like we all do. Right? Look at this in Psalm 143, verses 7 to 9. Here's his cry. "Hear me speedily, O Lord." That's O Jehovah. "My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." He's our hiding place. We flee to him, don't we? We flee to him from the circumstances of this life. We flee to him from our enemies. We flee to him all the time. We may face trying gales of temporal losses or the gales of bereavement, other inflictions which come in our lives, but Christ is always our hiding place. And remember, those are all sent to us by God. As one dear sister said to me years ago, these trials and temptations and things come to us to wean us from this world and to make us rest in Christ more and more. You know, there's no refuge for the sinner other than Christ. Our safety only lies in him. Only lies in finding the shelter that God has provided. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall, Isaiah 25:4. Poor, needy sinners only find refuge in Christ. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Psalm 32:7. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 26. He's our hiding place from the storms of this life. And also the storm of God's justice and God's law, as I said earlier. Look at this in Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. Hide yourself in Christ. Hide yourself till the wrath is past. Remember the Egyptians and the Israelites in Egypt? When God told the Israelites to put that blood on the lentils, He said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you, right? Covered under the blood. For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. There's going to be a great reckoning. Don't think people are getting away with stuff. There's going to be a great reckoning. There will be. We know their end, don't we? It's terrifying. The Lord cometh out of His place. That's Jehovah. Jehovah cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Let's go back to verse 32, or chapter 32 and verse 2. Our King shows mercy, though. He shows mercy to His people, doesn't He? Has God been merciful to you? He's sure been merciful to me. Amen. Hey, He's been merciful. Oh, He's so merciful to us. How do we know that? Well, look again at verse 2. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Again, Christ is, He's our hiding place from all these storms which come our way. He's our hiding place. He knows what we go through. He knows what we go through. He says this. You know, He was tempted, but yet without sin. He says this in John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There was nothing in Christ that the enemy could get a hold of. He was sinless. He's perfect. Now there's lots in us, isn't there? But there was nothing in Him. He's absolutely perfect. Absolutely sinless. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know Christ couldn't sin? He's impeccable. He's God. He's God in the flesh. People have been arguing that for years. Could Christ have sinned? Could He not? No. He's God. He's perfect. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's the righteous King. He's tempted like we are, but yet without sin. And we're tempted. We go right down, don't we? Don't take much to get us. But He's without sin. He's the impeccable one. He's more than a mere man. You know, He rules every tempest that comes across this world. Every storm that comes into our lives personally. Every storm. There's a big storm blast in the northwest, isn't there? Or not the northwest, the northeast. At all, He's controlling all that. See, our God, He's, you know, you often hear people, oh my, And when I was in religion, I used to say this stuff. It just horrifies me. You know, give the devil so much power, and oh, look at the storm that he sent. That storm didn't come from him. God allows it to happen. He's sovereign. He's either sovereign over all or he's not sovereign at all, right? So every storm that comes into our life comes from his hand, right? Again, to wean us from this world, beloved. Now, there's sometimes we start murmuring. This week I started murmuring about something, and I said to Vicki, I got to stop murmuring. I'm murmuring against God's providence. I had to. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm murmuring against your providence. You know? But we do it so quickly, don't we? You know, people in power, God put them in there, right? And we start murmuring. We're murmuring against God's providence, aren't we? That's what happened with me. Well, I don't have to like the situation, but God is the one who's put people in power. He's either in control of everything or he's not in control of anything. And it says here, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Here's the substitutionary man. Here's the man who's come to save his people from their sins. Last night I was looking with a couple guys at that scripture in Isaiah that talks about that he set his face like a flint. That's an immovable stone. When I lived in Oregon, we have these great rocks just sitting just off the coast, sitting in the water. I think I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to tell it again. These huge rocks. So, when that illustration I used, I often think of those rocks. This huge rock, just jutting out of nowhere in the ocean, but just enough offshore that people can go and climb them and all that. And here's that water. Bam. And that stone just standing there. Bam. He set his face like a flint, like an immovable stone. Said, I must save my people from their sins. Right? And then think of that stone again with the wrath of God. When waves crashing against that, there's that stone still standing. He's our hiding place, beloved. Storms of this life come crashing against that rock, right? He's our hiding place. He's our hiding place. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. And let us rejoice as we read this scripture here. This is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. This shows us that God's wrath has been turned away from his people in Christ. Oh, this is a marvelous scripture. Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. And you, he's writing to born again believers. And you, being dead in your sins, verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13. I got ahead of myself there, I'm sorry. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15. Look at this. And you, being dead in your sins. Now, dead there means dead. It's not like religion that says you're mostly dead. Because you supposedly still have a will. No, dead means dead there. It means graveyard dead. Like not moving a muscle. That was our natural state. And you being dead in your sins. That was our natural state. That's the state that God found us in. Right there. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. So we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. See, this is an operation of God, isn't it? Look at this. Having forgiven you what? All trespasses. All. Every sin you can remember, every sin you can't remember. Every sin you've done. Sins in our dreams. Oh my. Having forgiven you all trespasses. That's good news for sinners, isn't it? Look at this. Now there was, the law of God. The law of God had a claim on us, right? And what this is speaking of, the handwriting of ordinances against us, they used to nail things to the cells of convicts with a list of things that was against them. Could you imagine what ours was? Could you imagine how long it was? Billions of sins committed in a lifetime. Billions. Sins in our mind, sins we spoke, sins we did indeed, sins in our consciousness and unconsciousness. Right? If someone says they're not a sinner, just ask them what their dreams are like. Right? Think of this soul. Oh, the great handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You see what it says there? Blotting out. That means to whitewash in the Greek. That's like using anesthetic. Gone. When you whitewash something, you can't see what's underneath it. Gone. Blotting out. The handwriting of ordinances, that was what? Against us. It's us who broke God's law. It's us who sinned. Which was contrary to us. It was against us, beloved. Look at this. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Blotted out. Never to be remembered anymore. I'll remember your sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, God says. And again, I've told you, if you keep going east, you're always going to be going east. You'll never meet up with west. North and south, you can meet up with North Pole and the South Pole. But if you're going east, you're always going east around this world. You go west, you're always going around west. They don't ever meet. My. Blotted out. He took it out of the way. It's not against us anymore. Our sins are forgiven. Nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And triumphing here is the Romans used to have what's called triumphs. And the generals, they loved these triumphs because what happened was they would get to ride in a golden chariot with a laurel on their head. And they would get to go through Rome in this. And they would bring behind them the prisoners of the armies that they defeated. And then their soldiers would come through all in dress uniform, polished up. They'd polish their armor all up, and out they'd go. And it was a great honor. The Lord triumphed that way over the devil and all the fallen angels. He destroyed his enemies. He destroyed them, triumphing them over them. As God, Christ's blood has the power to pay all our sins, to pay for all the sins of all the elect of all the ages. Because he's God. He's not a mere man. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's more than the conqueror. He's more than the conqueror. He's the interceding man. He's the ever-living man. He lives forever. And because he lives, we're going to live forever too. And he's ever interceding for us, isn't he? You need someone to intercede for you? I sure do. He intercedes for his people forever. He says, I prayed for thee. I prayed for thee. Satan seeks to destroy us. But Christ said, I prayed for you. He's the one mediator between God and man. When I was a Catholic, I used to go to the priest. And supposedly you go there and you tell him your sins, which was foolishness. Absolute foolishness. And he'd tell me, go pray this and that. Pray 10 of these and 10 of those. And all your sins are forgiven then. Well, that guy's a sinner too. And then I ran into a man who was a missionary. And he said, why are you going to a man and telling him your sins? He can't do anything. He's a sinner himself. And that just shook my world. And the scripture that shook my world is 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I'll tell you what. The foundations of that false religion start crumbling. Because there is only one mediator between God and man, between you and I, or between God and us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, right? He's only pleased with Christ. He's only pleased with the work of Christ. And praise God that he did that in the room and place of his people. He's a refuge. He's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, isn't he? For his people. David said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Is God your shelter? Every one of God's people can say the same with David, right? For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy, a high and lifted up tower. Is he your tower? Is he your strong refuge? If you're trusting in anything else but Christ, you're trusting in false refuge. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. My, oh my. It says here, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest's rivers of water, and a dry place is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. All who come to Christ find refuge. May God give you grace to flee to him, to rest in him, to trust in him alone. David said, my sins are ever before me. Our sins are ever before us, aren't they? Praise God, they're forgiven. Praise God, we have a refuge. Praise God, Christ cried, it is finished. Because there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. And remember who cried those words. The King. The King who rules and reigns in righteousness. The one sent by God. The one who set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. Like an immovable stone. Oh Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to Christ. We're so blind, we could never find him on our own, could we? People say, oh, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. God found me. I was talking to a fellow this week, and he said, well, when I got saved, and I said, well, I like to say when the Lord saved me. Some people say, well, that's being, you're being a little picky there. No, no, the Lord saved me. I didn't have nothing to do with it. He saved me by his grace. He saved me by his mercy. Did I flee to Christ? After he regenerated me. And after he gave me faith to believe. But it's his work. It's all his work. And again, what we proclaim brings nothing to the table by us, does it? And man does not like that at all. Because they want something to do. But the Bible says that salvation's of the Lord, and it means what it says. God doesn't lie. Salvation's of the Lord. What did Christ say? He said, I am the way. So that means there's no other way but him. Right? That means that any other way is a false way. He said, I am the way. Singular. I am the way. I am the truth. So these other religions that claim to bring people to salvation are a lie, because he's the only truth and I'm the life. When you die, our soul lives on. And he who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life. And he who doesn't, well, we see what happens to them. We saw in Matthew chapter 7 this morning, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're cast into hell. He's the way, only one way. He's the truth, only one truth, and he's the life. He's everlasting life for all his people. Right? And then he says this, no man, not by anything we do, no man or woman or child, no man, speaking of mankind, no man can come unto the Father. So that does away with our works. That does away with anything we say. That does away with, pray this prayer and now you're saved. Does away with that, doesn't it? It's a heart work, beloved. You've heard me say many times, God can save you without you moving a muscle, because it's a heart work. No man cometh unto the Father. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Is Christ your hiding place? Is he your only refuge? If he is, give God all the glory. And give him all the honor and give him all the praise for the great things he's done for you. Because you know why? It's only him who's made you to differ from anyone else. Only him. I was looking at a picture this week. I was talking to a couple of the guys. We were looking at that picture of all the Afghanis that are packed into that plane, right? 600 of them, they said, were packed into this C-130. And I just made a comment that I've heard from Jean-Claude a long time ago. I said, you know what? There may be one or two of God's elect in there. You never know. He may be bringing them over to America to hear the gospel, which they've never heard before. Just don't know, beloved. We do not know what God's doing. We do not know. And he works things according to his will. And praise God, as Sister Jill saying, he included me. Each one of us can say that, right? Praise God that he's my hiding place, all because of his grace and his mercy. Let's give God all the glory and think about these wonderful truths this week.